This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gene Frenette of the Florida Times Union covers the Jacksonville Jaguars, also joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline to discuss. Gene, we've got Leroy Butler, former Packer safety, and you know him as apparently a former basketball star, as he likes to claim that he was one of the best high school basketball players in the state of Florida. Gene, we appreciate the time, but I need to clarify that on Leroy Butler's basketball abilities.
I got
actually,
my yearbook.
He was pretty good.
I think you're breaking up,
fast,
Gene.
He was athletic. Now, whether he could win a 3-point shooting contest, that might be up for debate. But his ability to get up and down the floor and in transition, yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, Gene, I think you're breaking up a little bit. We got a bad
connection. Hey, you be nice.
Bad connection, Gene.
Hey, Gene, Hackett, people know his dad, and we've heard all about him. We heard some things. He's a high energy guy, things of that nature. But you know, this coaching carousel we just talked about. They start to hire who they know or whatever. What do you think we can expect from Hackett come here, although he will not be calling the plays?
Listen, he brings a wealth of experience, as you said, with his dad, Paul Hackett, former Kansas City Chiefs head coach, longtime offensive guy in the NFL. I think he does bring a lot to the table. Now, if he's not going to be the play caller, a lot's going to depend on how well he works with Aaron Rodgers and with whoever is going to be the play caller. I mean, who's going to be the play caller with
LaFleur? LaFleur's going to call the plays.
Okay, so LaFleur is going to call the plays. Okay,
yes.
So they obviously know each other from being in the same division, you know, with the Titans and the Jaguars. In the NFL, it's not so much about what your resume is, because look, I'm getting ready to do a column now on John DeFilippo, the Vikings fired offensive coordinator, who's now going to be the Jaguars offensive coordinator. And the truth of the matter is, guys, is offensive coordinators are and play callers are only going to be as good as the people that are, you know, executing the things that they're calling. You know, people get so wrapped up in play calls, and if something doesn't work, then they just assume it was a terrible call. Well, sometimes it is a terrible call, but sometimes it isn't. Sometimes the players just don't execute it. So we talked about all these the deck chairs on the NFL Titanic get flipped around every year. Not just the head coaches, but coordinators as well. And this is just another example. You know, people here were tired of Nathaniel Hackett. Okay, now he's going to go to Green Bay, and who knows whether in a year or two now, whether they might not be singing his praises.
You know? So, Gene, that's why you mentioned fired. And the Packer fans, Hack is getting a little blowback because he was fired in Jacksonville.
Correct.
And most people want to know, why was Hackett fired in Jacksonville? Can you answer that question, please?
Well, I would say it's probably a couple things. Number one, the offense here was putrid, but so was the injury situation with the offensive line, the tight ends, and Leonard Fournette being absent for 8 games this year. I don't know that Bill Walsh could have run this offense in his prime and gotten anything more out of this Jaguars team when you're playing with your fourth string and third string left tackles and right tackles. And your center is gone, and your tight end is the fourth string tight end, and you know, like you said, Leonard Fournette is gone either for reasons of suspension or a hamstring, you know, and you've got Blake Bortles as your quarterback. You know, that's not exactly a recipe for success right there, regardless of who's calling the play.
So he was a sacrificial lamb, so to speak, then.
Probably a little bit of that, and I'm sure that there was probably some things that listen. And Leroy can attest to this. Things go on with a team, whether it's coaches with coaches, whether it's players with players, behind the scenes, that the media never finds out anything about. Okay?
Yep.
Stuff just happens. Family drama happens. All this kind of stuff. And I'm not suggesting that all of that happened with the Jaguars this year, but there was certainly more of it than there had been in other years. And I think Nathaniel was a little bit a victim of that, but he was also, listen, when you don't produce in the NFL, it's a bottom line business. And it's not surprising that other people, you know, get left out the door. And other guys on the staff were also fired as well. You know, the running backs coach, Tyrone Wheatley, is gone. So, and there were five new staff changes today.
Yeah, you got DeFilippo in there now from the Minnesota Vikings as offensive coordinator. How has that been accepted by Jacksonville fans as far as social media and so forth?
I think it's really too early to tell. My guess is it's a mixed bag. Listen, John DeFilippo is a perfect example of how things can change. You know, the NFL, a lot of people say, stands for not for long. Well, a year ago, everybody was singing this guy's praises,
yep,
and thinking that he was going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears or possibly the Arizona Cardinals. Now, you know, he's waiting for the deck chairs in the Titanic to stop moving, hoping he can land an offensive coordinator job. And, you know, fortunately for him, he did. There wasn't that many left over. There was only like three of them left. Darren Bevell was one of the guys that was interviewed here in Jacksonville. He got the job today with the Detroit Lions. So, I mean, so, you know, the carousel is spinning all over the NFC North division, and you've got three new offensive coordinators, and the only one that hasn't changed is the Bears.
I want to go back to Hackett for a second, because I've been seeing things that he's a pretty emotional dude. What can we expect from him as far as in training camp? Is he one of those guys that's going to scream and yell and carry on as offensive coordinator, as far as how is he during games? What are we supposed to expect?
Well, you know that the media only gets to look at about 15 or 20 minutes.
If you're lucky.
Now, training camp, you do get to see it. On a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of his animation, I would give him probably about a 5.
That's not bad.
I mean, I wouldn't say he was like the biggest yeller and screamer there is, but he's not, you know, he's not a bump on a log either. So I'd say he's about middle of the road. But in terms of how he dealt with the media, he might very well have been the most enthusiastic coach in terms of answering questions from the media when we dealt with him. And granted, we only got him once a week. We got him on Thursdays. But he was fantastic with us. I mean, there's from a media standpoint, Nate was a very likable guy. Now from a media standpoint versus a fan standpoint, sometimes those can be two different things, as you well know.
Getting a look at Nathaniel Hackett's career in Jacksonville with Gene Frenette of the Florida Times Union.
Yeah, I kind of liken that to the young coaches. You know, he's 39, Matt LaFleur is 39. Like, I call them the new kids on the block, because it seemed like every team wanted a new McVay types. They wanted younger guys, and it seemed like that's where everybody's going. I mean, do you think for a veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who's actually 35, do you think that's something good for him after going from somebody more experienced like Mike McCarthy?
To be quite honest with you, Leroy, I think the most honest way I can answer that question is I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me. I have to admit, I was a little bit stunned when I first heard that Nathaniel got the OC job. I texted him, congratulated him and all that. He texted me back and all that stuff. But, you know, so much depends on how, you know, everything's going to depend on what his relationship is going to be like with Matt LaFleur and with Aaron. It's all going to ride on that. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can speculate all you want on your radio show about how we think it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is you don't know. I mean, you know, when Nathaniel Hackett came here, he was working for a boss that he had, you know, he worked for a few years at Syracuse and with the Buffalo Bills. So him and Doug Marrone had this long history together. Well, Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers have zero history together, at least as far as I know. I don't know what the exact connection was with Matt LaFleur hiring Hackett. There may have been some other common connection there.
Yeah, they crossed paths at one point. But I was wondering, do they even need a quarterbacks coach, or do they just make Hackett maybe the OC and make him quarterbacks coach to have a better relationship with Aaron Rodgers? Now they can kind of set the agenda for Matt. Now the play calling has an input by Aaron Rodgers, but is not affected by Aaron Rodgers. As a coordinator, you had a passing, I mean, special team guy. It's just too many coaches there. I think the Green Bay Packers started to clean it up for Aaron a little bit and just let him report to the head coach. But at the same time, you have the buffer as an OC, and that can be Hackett.
Yeah, but keep in mind, though, with McCarthy serving in like a dual role, just as Matt LaFleur is going to be sort of in a dual role as the head coach and the play caller, I think it's all good. I think it all depends on what the boss wants. If the boss wants a quarterback's coach in that room with the head coach, mm-hmm. who happens to also be the play caller, then it's going to happen that way. And one thing I can assure you of, when you allow a guy who's a player on your team to have too much influence on what goes on in the room, I think you're asking for trouble.
Yeah,
I think you're asking.
I would
for
love
trouble.
To.
You know,
I would
the
love
head
to.
Coach has got to be the head coach what? Has got to be the head coach, and you know there's a chain of command there. And I think if you allow the quarterback to have too much of a say, I think you could be heading for some problems.
Yeah, I would love to trade for number 20 and get him up here in Green Bay. They got to start breaking that defense up. It's too much money over there. And so some of those guys don't like each other. Because that defense played great in Jacksonville. And guys, you know, Fowler Jr. started to leave. And, you know, just – so I would think they're going to start to trade some of these guys. Hopefully number 20 – Florida State's finest would love to come up here.
The last guy, Leroy, you know just as well as I do, the last guy on this team they're going to trade is going to be Jalen Ramsey.
Understandably so. He's an absolute monster.
You don't trade a generational talent unless somebody is willing to give you a king's ransom, like, you know, two first-round picks in 2 seconds or something crazy like that.
Oh, well, we can't afford that. No, we good. Thanks a lot, Gene. No,
Gene for that.
They got too many holes on the team for that.
We appreciate the time, man. We also appreciate the insight on Leroy Butler as a youngster and also as a basketball player. He's telling us that he could win the 3-point shootout.
I certainly hope that you don't diminish Leroy's credentials as a Hall of Famer the way you just diminished his credentials as a high school basketball.
No doubt, Gene. No, we're pushing forward every single day, man.
Yeah. Because if you diminish my man's Hall of Fame credentials, I may have to come see you.
There you go.
Gene's going to test my jaw. That's right. Gene. Appreciate it, man.
Well, Gene can help us out. Gene need to help us out trying to get Leroy in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no doubt. Gene, we got to have Gene back on one of these times when we start having that conversation again. He was on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.